You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I was not that young, because I was 30 years old. But I was at a time in my life where I needed to do something I really wanted to do. Being a musician, playing music, it was what I always wanted to do, but there was always anything else, like studies and finding a work. And when I was like 30 years old, I told to myself, now it's time to do what you really want to do.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. We've had a glorious weekend. I most certainly did. I had so much fun at the Meet Me for Coffee, Vox and Hops, and Folly Brewing beer release, the How About Some Coffee Coffee Stout. Man, did we ever have a blast. If you were there, thank you so much for coming out and taking the time to hang out with me. If you weren't, you should have been there, because it was so much fun. You should definitely try to get your hands on this brew, because it's absolutely delicious. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter, and I have teamed up with them to bring you Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops Brutal Montreal, the first edition of a true metal and craft beer festival in my hometown of Montreal is happening on December 17th at Corona Theater. Performing this year is my band, Cryptopsy, alongside my friends in The Agonist, The Great Sabatini, Necrotic Mutation, and Burning the Oppressor. All night long, you can enjoy amazing craft beers from some of Quebec's best metal breweries, such as BG Brasserie Urbaine, Missorum Brassatorium, Brasserie du Bas-Canada, Sir John Brewing Company, Cinquième Baron, and Brasseur de Montréal. If you're planning on coming to this amazing event, you should absolutely go pick up your tickets right now via the link in the description of this podcast, because tickets are selling very, very quickly, and I would hate for you to miss your chance to come to the first edition of Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops Brutal Montreal. Before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'd also like you to rate it and write a review. Now, why do I want you to do that? Well, you have to imagine that when someone is looking for a new podcast to listen to, what do? They scroll down, they look at the reviews. If those reviews are favorable, they will most probably give that podcast a chance. If you were to encourage someone to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, in today's episode, I'm with Marion Bascoul of Afanamaya. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 311.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Marion Bascoul of Ifanamaire. How are you doing, Marion? It's great to be with you.
Thank you. I'm doing very well. Thank you much.
I'm very, very happy to have you with me. You have a record that came out on November 19th via Napalm Records called A Dream of Wilderness. Now, I can only imagine of what a year it's been. Dreaming of wilderness, living in the wilderness of this pandemic. And I love to start my episodes like this, my conversations like this. We go dark right at the beginning, and then we make our way back to the light. How did you cope with this glorious, glorious pandemic that just seems to be sticking around?
Yeah, in fact, it went very well for me. I was good staying at home. It was not a problem. And in fact, we wrote the album at that time, starting at the start of 2020, and writing the music, the lyrics, and recording it. So I was pretty busy, and it went very well.
Excellent, yes, because France was one of the first places that really just locked everyone in their houses.
I think so. Maybe one of the first.
Mm-hmm. So then you guys just dove straight into the studio, which was a creative thing to do. Was it just the cycle like that? It happened to fall that you guys were recording a new record. You were already about to write a new record when the pandemic hit, so just the timing was perfect?
Yeah, the timing was perfect for us, because when we are writing a new record, it takes all of our time. So in fact, it was pretty The time was good. Sorry.
No, I didn't. There's no problem at all. You're doing wonderfully. It is interesting as an artist being with Cryptopsy. I know how tedious it is to write a record. And then having to play shows while writing a record is also very tedious because it's like two mindsets where one mindset is you're in a pure creative mode and the other mindset is in a rehearsal preparation mode. And it can sometimes disrupt the creative vibes to actually go out and play. So if at Amaya, is it something that you guys mentally do that when you're writing a record, you do not perform, you decide to just lock yourselves in until the record is done? Or do you typically go out and play shows and come back and forth?
In fact, we didn't have the choice until now, because when it was 2020 and we had some gigs planned, but they were cancelled. The only thing we had to do was to write the record, the new record. And before that, when we wrote the second album in 2018, we didn't had that much shows, so it was not a problem we had until now. But I think that we are the kind of band that write a new record without giving shows, because it kind of take all the place for us.
It's a lot of work getting ready to play a show. Especially when it's just one of them. It's a lot of work. If it's a tour, it's okay, because then you're in shape for the rest of them.
I don't know for the other bands, but for us it takes a lot of time.
Absolutely. I forget everything every single time. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Now, what beer are we going to share virtually today? What beer do you have on your side?
Yeah, I have a craft beer.
Amazing.
I have a craft beer. Here it is.
Molotov.
So it's, the name of the brewer is Sabotage.
Cool.
It's a craft beer from my hometown, Toulouse, in south of France. And I chose this one. Yes, the name is Molotov. It's a stout beer. It's my favorite.
Awesome. Cool. I love that. You can crack that open, pour it out. I'll present my beer. I'm drinking a brew juice from Brewski. It's a very cool brewery here in Montreal. I was actually there last night with Philip Ivanovic, the artist that designs a lot of Vox and Hops' beer labels. I love him to death. We had a good time at Brewski, and I picked up this can. This is one of their brew juices, which is a fruited sour. So they take a sour base. This one's about 5.2%. And then they add a whole bunch of fruit puree to it. So it's basically like a healthy morning juice that gets you a little bit drunk. This one has apricot, mango, and guava in it, 5.2%. Absolutely killer brews. This pours out super thick, gorgeous little head that's forming on it. Vibrant orange, apricot color, really just gorgeous.
Oh, it looks very good.
It's like a healthy morning.
Yeah, like a healthy juice.
Yours looks dark and ominous.
Mine is a stout.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's amazing. It's tart, sweet, but not too sweet. Sour, but really balanced. Their brewer, Derek, is a real wizard. I love him. Tell me about your first beer, the first beer that you ever drank.
Oh, I don't know. It's like a very long time ago. Really? I think, I know. I think it was a beer. The beer my father was drinking. So you don't know this beer. I think it's a French beer. The name is 1664.
Yeah, no, of course, Cronenberg.
I think Cronenberg. Cronenberg.
Yeah.
But not the base one. The 1664. Yes,
okay.
That was my first beer, and I'm sure.
Very interesting.
Because that was the beer my father drank at the time. So
how did that go? Did you go and steal it?
Oh no. No, my parents are pretty cool with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are French. We're from south of France. So, We drink wine and all in family, so it's pretty cool. I was not so young. I mean, I was like maybe 13 years old. No, not that much young. My father gave it to me, so yeah, it's cool.
Well, cheers to him. I like that. How about the craft beer scene? I've toured Europe a bunch of times. I've toured through France. I've played Toulouse a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
My guitarist always posts the most ridiculous joke there, that there's nothing to lose in Toulouse. It's a silly joke.
Yeah, I understand.
But the craft beer scene, how is that going in Toulouse? I don't believe that I went and explored when I was there. So
yeah, there's a lot of craft beers. A lot. Yeah. But I like this one, this brewer, because it has a lot of fun taste, you know. That one is classic, the stout, but it has some taste like lemon pie or cassoulet. I don't know if you
that I don't,
you
know. I don't know what that is. No, I'm
cassoulet.
Sorry.
You don't know cassoulet?
No, what is cassoulet? No,
you don't know. It's a French dish.
Oh, okay.
Very famous.
A dessert or?
No, it's it's like beans with sausages and they had in the past a beer which tasted like that, but
interesting.
I think it's pretty fun.
Well, it sounds fun. Like they're very adventurous. I like that very much. I'd love to hear about the soundtrack of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Not much. My parents were not listened to much music. So I didn't listen to music much before I was a teenager. I was not born in a family of musicians or, there was some music, but not much.
So it wasn't a passion of theirs. You had that beer at 13 and then all of a sudden you had to listen to music once you were a teenager.
I was a teenager in the 90s, so it was the new metal period of time, and yes, I was into that, and so I started with that, and after new metal, I listened to true metal and overtypes, and that's how I jumped into that.
I am also a child of new metal. A new metal child. I have no shame saying it.
What was your favorite? I was a Deftones.
I really like Deftones, and then I really liked a girl that liked Deftones, and then I wanted to not like her anymore, so I stopped listening to Deftones. Being immature and not understanding stuff. But the one that really, really just hooked me was Korn.
Yes. There was two teams at the time. There was a Deftones team and the Korn team. I was the Deftones team, sorry. Korn was cool also.
Funnily enough, they're both still performing, which is amazing. I think Deftones has aged better, though.
I've seen Korn for the first time in a few years ago.
They're still going. I love it. I'd love to hear about the first show, your first live music experience.
Yeah, my first show. My first show, I think I was 15 years old. And it was a French band. It was a French rock band. The name is Noir Désir, but they're not a band anymore. That was very huge at that time in France. And my first gig was that.
How about your first time on stage?
My first time on stage was in 2014. Yeah, not much ago. In fact, I didn't start music very at a young age. I started very, 10 years ago.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's interesting.
I started to play an instrument when I was a teenager. But it was like trying to play in a band, but it was not a great success. I didn't choose the right instrument for me.
And what instrument, yeah, what instrument was that?
I tried to play drums.
Okay.
It's not my thing, really.
Was that like in a school band, or was that like in a band?
No, with like other teenagers, we played Deftones and new metal thing. Okay, so after that, I just stopped music, and I really started to play music when I was 30 years old. I started playing guitar and extra singing. So my first gig was a few years after that, and it was in 2014.
Amazing. It was so interesting. Starting in your 30s, straight to guitar and extreme vocals at the same time.
Yeah. I started guitar at 28, I think, and singing at 30. Yes, it's the right thing.
Why did you end up becoming an extreme vocalist?
Yeah, it was just the type of vocals I loved. Yeah, I was just listening to band who did extreme vocals. So like the Finnish bands, the Swedish bands, and all the melodic death metal stuff. And I was just like into it. It was the genre which pushed me to play music. I wanted to play melodic death metal. So I learned guitar and then extreme singing. And then I started a band, and a few time after that, I integrated Éphanimère.
Amazing. From you have a goal. I want to play Swedish extreme metal. And then here you are, you know, 7 years later, basically.
Yeah, it's impressive. you have to be motivated by something. And I was like really into Amon Amarth at the time, after Twilight of the Thunder God, and in 2018. And that was the band which made me learn to play guitar and also extreme vocals. Yeah, it was the starting point.
And I think that's so cool.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I was not that young, because I was 30 years old, but I was at a time in my life where I needed to do something I really wanted to do, like a dream I wanted to make true. And the music, being a musician, playing music, it was what I always wanted to do, but there was always anything else, like studies and finding a work and moving into a house, private stuff and stuff and this. But when I was that age, like 30 years old, I told to myself, now it's time to do what you really want to do. And I made everything possible to make that dream comes true. I'm sorry, it's very...
No, it's, I think it's amazing. It's
very cliche, but I don't know how to express it in English.
No, it's perfect.
A different way.
Comes to my mind is the message is that it's never too late.
Yeah, I think so. I was not that old, but when you are like 30 years old and you have a job, a serious job, and all that stuff, it's really strange for people when you say, no, now I want to be a musician, I will learn, I will have a band, we'll do gigs and write music and all, and the people are like, well, what's the point? You just, why don't you have some babies, or I don't know. But I'm really happy the way it was, because yeah, now with Éphanémère we are signed to Napalm Records and we are doing gigs and tours, one tour because yes. After that it was the pandemic, but yeah, we hope to do more tours in the future, and I'm really happy. It went very well.
It's amazing. I'm always curious about how parents react with musicians doing stuff. Typically, it would happen at a young age that yeah. I'm going to abandon everything. I'm going to become a musician. And parents tend to be disappointed because they want you to finish your school. Now, you did the opposite. Yeah. You finished your school. You did everything. You bought the house. And then, so how did your parents react to you wanting to become a musician?
Yeah, they were very comprehensive. In fact, they were like, our first fans.
Amazing.
I had my job, of course. I didn't drop it. Yeah. It was not like just make a radical mm-hmm. change of life at first. But what I was not sure about, it was the extreme singing. I mean, yeah.
How your parents would react to that?
Yeah, I think people who don't know metal are, it's really difficult for them. So, they reacted very good. There was like, it's different, but it's cool, and now they are very they like it, I think.
Amazing. How did you become a proficient extreme vocalist? What steps did you take to make yourself a good extreme vocalist?
At first I started alone with the Melissa Cross DVD.
Really? Me too.
You too.
Absolutely.
Okay. The Zen of Screaming.
It's the best.
It was really hard. I remember I was like trying to saturate my voice like a few minutes each day, mm-hmm. like she said. It took me like weeks and weeks, like months. I don't remember well, but a very long time before I was able to do that. And after that, I took singing lessons, of course, because if you are practicing extreme vocals, you have to...
No stress. You need to have like a good training and a base too.
You have to train your voice. You have to know the basics of singing. So I took lessons, and I was really fortunate because I found a teacher in my hometown in Toulouse who knew the harsh vocals. Yes, she knew that. She taught me a method which name is Complete Vocal Technique by Catherine Sadolin.
Okay.
You know that? You know her?
No, I don't know that.
She's a European teacher, and she did a method which allow to learn all types of vocals, including harsh vocals like growl and scream.
Very interesting.
Yep. So my teacher taught me how to growl and also how to sing.
Amazing. We have been in the same building before, but we have not spoken before. I interviewed Chris from Alestorm in 2019 when you guys came through Montreal. This is a Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops episode. I would love to hear about your memories, your experience when you played Montreal. Does anything come to mind when I say, what is Montreal like?
Yeah, it was really an amazing tour because it was our very first tour. We didn't do a tour in France before that.
Straight
yeah, just like gigs from time to time. So our very first tour was in Canada. It's really amazing to first tour with the band as a band, but in this country, mm-hmm. in this amazing country, which is at the other side of the ocean. It was really awesome. We were really happy. And of course, the fact that in Quebec, people are speaking French was really a good start for the tour.
Because it started in Quebec City, I think, and then you guys came to Montreal after that.
Yeah. In Quebec City, but we arrived in Montreal. I don't know why I say Montreal. It's Montreal. And the first gig was Quebec, and after that, Montreal at the MTELUS.
Is correct. Yeah,
it's a very big place. And a big venue, and there was a lot of people. It was awesome, right? Yeah, really awesome.
Amazing.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind, and right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers, think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
Let's talk about the new record, A Dream of Wilderness. It came out on November 19th via Napalm Records. Something about this album that I think is super interesting, and there are some bands that do this here, notably Despised Icon. The thing that really, really jumped out to me is that Le Radeau de la Méduse, you guys did a French version of that. Talk to me about the decision of doing that.
Yeah, it was an idea I've had for a certain time to write in French, but I was not comfortable with it because, you know, it's I was not, growling in French was a bit difficult, I felt. But when I tried, in fact, it's good. it's even easier because it's your language. So it's easier to make accents and emotions and to convey emotions. So I think I'm really happy with the result. I hope people will like it. I don't know. So I was having this idea to try to write lyrics in French, but I was afraid of it a bit. So I said to Martin, the lead guitarist and the composer of the band, maybe we can do two versions of a song and release the French version as a bonus track. So there is no...
there's a big safety net.
Yeah, there's less challenge because, it's a bonus track, you know? It's not... it's okay if it's not as good as the other songs. So, that was how I made it.
As a lyricist, I'm curious, did you write the song in French first or English first?
I met the boss, both their versions at the same time.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
At the same time.
Very interesting. I would have imagined you had translated, and I can only imagine that translating something It could be difficult to like get the patterns the same, the feeling of delivering, because you get used to like a pattern, and this is my vocal line, and then you have to fit that into a French version of what you've already done would be complicated. But if you're doing it at the same time, it makes sense.
Yeah, and it was because I wrote the two versions at the same time, because I assured that every part was good in English and in French, not just translating the parts in. And sometimes the lyrics came out as French, and I searched for an English version. Oh, and yes. Sometimes it was the opposite.
Yes, absolutely, I understand. Very, very interesting. This is your first release on Napalm. Napalm did re-release Procopton last year. So huge release, middle of a pandemic. How does that make you guys feel?
We hope that we will do gigs because in a few months, I think we will be able to do gigs. So I don't think it will change much things. But for the bands who released albums in 2020, it was really hard. I think. Yeah. But I think it will be good. I don't know. We will see. I hope that we will be able to do gigs, and it will not affect the release. But I don't know at that point how things will be. I don't know.
We can't worry about what we can't control, right?
So I don't know.
I am interested in if you could book a tour to put Ephanemia in front of the perfect crowd. So you opening for bigger bands below you, a dream release tour. What bands would be on that? Let's say it's a 4-band package.
Okay, 4 bands?
Yeah, including your band, so. You plus 3 bands.
Okay, so 3 bands. Of course, there will be Darkton Katie, I think. Of course, we love them. I know some band. So Darkton Katie, I mean, maybe Insomnium. And the third, I don't know. It's hard. Maybe Dimmu Borgir. Maybe.
That'd be huge.
That would be awesome. I think that's 3 bands we will like to tour with. Last year, I would have said Children of Bodom, but...
Yes, sadly.
Yeah, it's not happening. I think so.
Rest in peace, Alexi. He was a true, true metal legend and a very nice dude. I've met him. Let's talk about the French scene. There's a bunch of killer bands from there. My friends, of course, Benighted are from France. Igor, Gojira. There's so many more. Hellfest happens there. One of the best festivals in the world. So much fun playing Hellfest. Why is the French scene so vibrant right now? I get this question all the time about Montreal. I'm curious about why you think the French scene is so vibrant right now.
There was the post-metal thing in last years. So a lot of bands came from France. That genre in France have a lot of bands. So I think maybe it's correlated with that. In France, we have a really extreme scene. Not really with the post-metal thing, maybe, but with the brutal death scene, death metal scene, black metal. We have lots of black metal bands. It's a really extreme scene, and I think there are more and more famous bands from France because of the post-black and post-metal thing, who allowed maybe less extreme bands to gain a wider audience. It's my take. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's that.
That's very cool. It could be. It very, very well could be. I'm interested. I'm very lucky that I get to do these interviews. I get to, right before I sit down here, I get like a little bit nervous. Did I do enough research? Am I going to connect? Is the internet going to be good? I get a bit of that same feeling that I get before I climb up onto stage to perform with Cryptopsy. So I'm curious how you have been filling the void of performing live.
It's really strange. I don't know. It's just a strange feeling. When you play a lot live, we played a lot in 2019, like a lot than the years before. And so a lot of festivals in Western Europe, small festivals, a lot of gigs in France and all, and in Canada, of course. And so, having no gigs at all in 2020, it was really strange. At first, I was good with that because we were writing the record and all. But yeah, that just at some point, I just had the feeling that we will never go on stage another time. And I still have this feeling. I don't know. It's really, really strange, and I didn't feel the void. I just have this strange feeling. Don't know
it
what
come
to
back
say.
Video.
Other
it
than
will
that.
Come back.
I hope.
I love making collab beers. I like to make beers for bands. I've released a bunch of them. I've made some for Cryptopsy. I've made some for other bands. If you can make a beer for FNMI, what beer would it be? What style would it be? You mentioned you like stouts. It could be a stout. So what style would it be, and what would you call it?
I don't know, because we all the members of the band like different type of beers. So it's a difficult question. It's really difficult question. Maybe it would not be a stout. Maybe it will be like a white beer, like not too much strong beer, mm-hmm. too much of a strong beer, like maybe an aromatized beer.
Yeah.
Maybe yes. Like your beer, maybe something like that.
Mm. You can see all the fruit pulp on it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
you always have to wash your glass.
Maybe it would be some kind of beer aromatized thing. Yeah.
Amazing. One last question. It probably doesn't happen to you very often because, you know how to do things and you seem in control. You only started extreme metal in your 30s. But every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
It does not happen more to me, much more to me. In the past, I've had some hangovers. But I think my last hangover was maybe in 2012. I remember it very well. But, yeah, like 8 years. Okay. Like it was 8 years ago. So I don't have a cure for that anymore. Yeah. But I remember that I drank a lot of water. I don't know if it helps.
Absolutely. it's the
I
secret.
I don't drink much alcohol. Just one good beer from time to time.
Which was perfect for
good
today.
Good wine, of course.
Of course, yes. Mariel, thank you so much for taking the time, hanging out with me, talking about your life, music, and craft beer. I truly had a blast. Everyone, go check out that new Ephanemai album, A Dream of Wilderness. It's a banger of an album. You guys are going to love it. Mariel, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, was I ever blown away when I discovered that Marion only started playing extreme music at the age of 30. Look at her now. It's just such an inspirational story that it is truly never too late to go and follow your dreams. So massive cheers to Marion for doing that, for being an inspiration to hopefully many other people listening to this episode and across the globe. It's never too late. You can become an internationally renowned musician today. You just have to put the work in, and it might just happen to you. So massive cheers to Marion. Just can't wait to hang out again. If you enjoy this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's VOXANDHOPS.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, any pertinent information for any cool new projects that I have in the works before I announce them to the public, as well as the updated links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, and is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. There's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I would hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a glorious rest of the week. I have two more episodes coming up, one on Thursday and another on Friday. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Fox and Hops heads.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living. And every week, I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.